Joe?
You sound super weird to me.
I say we just keep going like this.
Yeah, why not?
Hello, and welcome to the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and I can't say how excited I am that we have the downtown Joe Brown back with us again. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
And you might notice Joe's audio sounds like he's on a telephone. That's because he's on a telephone. And we tried talking to him via Skype, as we usually do, but we had a funny conversation. He kind of sounded like a synthesizer from the 90s, but unfortunately we couldn't hear anything that he was saying, so we're going to have to do the phone thing. And I also want to welcome Buster Heine back to the show. Hey, Buster.
What's up?
And we have got a really exciting show this week. We asked the audience on Twitter, on Facebook, what they wanted to talk about, then what they wanted us to talk about, rather. And it was overwhelming. Everyone wants us to talk about WWDC rumors and expectations. So we're going to do that. We're going to answer some of your Twitter questions.
Yeah, the one guy who responded was like, please talk about
WWDC. Yeah, I don't even think he was responding to me. I just searched for him on
that
Twitter.
That guy from the Philippines, right? What's his name?
Yeah. Oh, we should call him out now. Let's see.
Carlo. I got this.
Yeah, Carlo Borja.
Carlo Borja wants to
shout out
WWDC.
That's right.
Well, so Carlo.
We're going to do that.
It's spelled like it sounds.
Exactly, actually, yeah. And hey, before we do that, I just want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring the show yet again. I love Squarespace, and I love telling you guys about Squarespace because they are a fantastic web host. If you need a website, if you are trying to get into e-commerce, maybe sell some products online, if you're a photographer, if you're an artist, you really need to check out Squarespace. They make it really simple and easy to create a website, fast and easy, and your website will look great too using all their well-designed templates. And they're totally scalable, so your website will look great on an iPhone, an iPad, a Mac. Anyone who goes to it will see your site scaled for their device. They've been around for a while, and I love and appreciate them for sponsoring the show. So we'll tell you a little bit more about them later in the show. But if you'd like to start a free trial, just head over to squarespace.com/cultcast. You can do that. Check it out yourself. Joe, like I said, welcome back. It's been way too long. And some things for you have changed since we last talked about or talked to you. You were formerly of Gizmodo, and you have since moved on. You're in a different position, yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, I'm back at Wired. You know, I was at Wired before I was at Gizmodo.
Oh, you were at Wired before Gizmodo. That's right.
Yeah. And now I'm back.
Okay.
You know, there's a new regime.
And you're like the editor of like East Coast writings.
It's a really weird position, right? It's the New York editor.
You're the New York editor.
Basically, Wired is acknowledging that the East Coast needs to have some Wired presence. And so we're building out our New York office and wrapping up our East Coast operations, both for the web and for print. And I'm going to head that up.
I think you're going to do
great. I'm already heading that up.
Because
I hope so.
Well, me and Buster were saying before the show, people can probably tell if they've heard you on the show before, but definitely those who've met you in person, you're feisty. You're a feisty guy. I think I'm glad that you're on the show and not my boss.
Why? Wait, who's your boss?
Well, starts with an L, ends with a Caney. He's just the sweetest man you all know and love.
This show has been sponsored by Leander. You know, if you haven't checked out Leander, he's a really great guy.
I really like him.
Like that Squarespace ad you just did. Yeah, how are you going to follow that? So how's your day been?
I was looking for my show notes. There we go. Found them. Fantastic. Well, congrats on the new position.
Thank you very much. It's really good to be at Wired, and it's even better to be back on the call.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Thank you. So let's give the people what they want if they're still listening.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut out that 30-second long pause of mine.
Joe's right back.
Joe's
like the first person I've seen silence you, man.
Huh?
Joe's the first person to silence you. So.
I know you threw me off my game, Joe.
Gotta leave it.
Podcast
and for that,
leave it in.
I respect you, damn it. Okay, let's move on. WWDC, y'all. Let's talk about it. It's this Monday, and boy, we have had just not any Apple announcements for such a long time. I'm really excited about it. And let's start with Apple expectations, shall we? Because we haven't seen a new Apple product in 200 and, well, by the time Monday comes, 232 days.
Wow.
And that is the longest time they've ever gone without releasing a new product. So, Joe, why don't you start us off since you are a special honored guest? What are you expecting, and anything particular that you're excited for?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think there's going to be some Haswell stuff. Intel's new mobile chipset Haswell, blah, 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 graphics, blah, 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 horsepower. The thing that I'm really, really focused on with Haswell is battery life.
Yes.
Right? Battery life. Anybody who has a sort of mobile working lifestyle is frustrated by their battery life, myself included. And I have, you know, I have an Air. It's really good. All I need is like 5 hours, and it used to give me that, but it doesn't anymore.
Are you on the 11 or the 13?
The 13. And I love my Air, by the way. It's like the best computer I've ever owned. But I'm really excited at the prospect of an entire long flight on battery, or, you know, just an entire day on battery working remotely where you don't have to search for the plug all the time. And Haswell, the architecture is really interesting, the way they lay out the chip, because the promises for power efficiency, I think, you know, obviously battery is the final frontier right now. We have so many things that we could do if we had much better portable power, and so that's not happening. So a lot of companies are really working on making their chipsets more efficient, Intel Prime among them. So I'm excited for that. That's what I think is going to happen. And also, I think that it's about time for a new Mac Pro.
Oh, right? A new Mac Pro.
Mac Pro.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a calendar where I count days about like how long it's been, but I think it's been years.
It's been almost two years.
It's been over 2 years for sure since a decent update. They updated it last WWDC, but it was like with a Xeon processor, and that was it.
Right. Great. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I mean, the
Mac Pro, the thing is that it's really interesting, right? Like, Apple's core users are the professionals, and these are the guys who've been singing the gospel since way before the iPod, way before the iPhone, way before even the titanium MacBook Pro, the guys who were using the professional-oriented Macs with Avid, the video editors, the photographers, the creatives who need this horsepower. It seems to me inexcusable that there hasn't been a real update to the Mac Pro in so long.
I
think it's about time.
I think it could possibly be our one more thing at the end.
Well, I mean, yeah. I don't think they'll do a one more thing, but I'm sure they'll definitely update it at WWDC.
Well, Tim Cook, when did he say that updates were coming to the Mac Pro in 2013?
Yeah, he said that they're coming, that it's going to be built in the USA. And then Mac Rumors today posted that they're going to have something different for the new Mac Pro, or they're planning something different.
You mean like a whole different event?
A different approach for it. I mean, I don't think anybody wants a huge, bulky tower anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, but they definitely want a professional machine. So mm-hmm. I think Apple could do a lot of, like, cool stuff with it.
And you don't think that they'll announce that on Monday?
Oh, I think they probably will.
Okay. I just don't think
they're going to do, like, one more thing anymore.
Oh, no? You don't think so?
No, I don't think they'll. You think that
got retired with Steve Jobs?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm with Buster on that one.
I hope it has, at least. You know, I kind of hated it to begin with.
Did you really? Oh, I loved it.
It's such a cock tease. Like, oh, is it? Are they going to do something else? And
you're speaking about a rooster, right?
So mad. Yeah, exactly.
I do not like when people tease my rooster.
That's like if Tim Cook started calling everything amazing.
Yeah,
right. Like that's Steve Jobs deal.
Yeah.
Not trying to be Steve Jobs. He's like, this is really efficient. That's Tim Cook. We have really amortized that supply chain. I'm really excited to say it.
No, we encourage Tim Cook impersonations on this show. The more the better. So if he comes out in a mock turtleneck and some light colored blue jeans and some new balance shoes, you're going to be upset.
I would.
Oh,
yeah.
God, that'd be amazing. Oh, that
I'd be thrilled.
How long the new CEO of Apple gets to imitate Steve Jobs? Is it too soon? I think that would be amazing.
But they should do it as a joke at some point. Right, yeah.
That would be great.
Well,
I hope
Apple
we...
has...
No, go ahead, Jeff.
Not had a good sense of humor. I was just saying, Apple's not really great about having a sense of humor about itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially about their iconic leader.
Yeah.
It'd be different if he wasn't so dead.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Even then, I'm not sure.
If he was retired, they would totally... No, you're right. Never mind.
Yeah. I don't know. He's not Steve Ballmer. I don't know if he could take that joke.
I would love to see Tim Cook get up there and just be like, developers.
Let's talk about new MacBook Pros. You mentioned the Haswell chips. Intel announced new Haswell chips. I think today, actually, and those are
they
supposed
announced
to be
them at CES.
Yeah, they've been announced for a while.
Whoa.
Intel PR sucks. They just like they bungle every single announcement. Like they announce it like six times.
Uh-huh.
Did they announce these at CES?
Yeah, it's been announced for a long time. Yeah.
That's hilarious because they officially announced it today. So what does that mean? Today it's official?
Well,
maybe
just remember,
it's officially coming out today. I don't know.
Oh, maybe
they're
that's
officially
it.
Reminding you that they exist today.
Yeah. Just a reminder, and this is official. Haswell chips exist today.
The messaging, as we say in the business, is not great, but I'm really excited about these chips. I can't wait to get my hands on something with Haswell in it and actually play with it and see if the performance is as measured or as claimed and see if the battery life is as claimed, because it's about time to make the sort of order of magnitude leap forward in mobile processing capability and really battery life goes hand in hand with being able to crank as much power out of it as possible. But
yeah, I agree.
I've talked about that for so long, so I'm going to shut up.
For those who didn't, this is probably going to be most people. For those who didn't read the Intel press release, the Haswell chips they're claiming bring a 50% improvement in battery life over previous generation, and that's an active workload.
50%.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge leap. And that's an active workload, so like watching movies, surfing the internet, and then they're claiming a 2 to 3 times improvement in standby battery life.
Mm. You have Apple's also been really pushing batteries capabilities as well. So I
right.
think when you combine them, like Joe says, you're going to get like a MacBook Air that can finally go 9-10 hours like an iPad.
Well, I would actually be very fine with a MacBook Air that could go 5 hours and have a Retina screen.
Oh.
I'm not buying another computer until it's a MacBook Air with Retina.
That would be like the perfect computer right there.
Yeah. Unless something untoward happens to my Air, which has had many untoward things happen to it and hasn't shown any worse wear for it. Unless something horrible happens to it and it dies, I'm not buying a computer until there's an Air with Retina.
Well, I think this is going to be your moment then, Joe, because, I mean, the other big thing about Haswell is the huge increase in graphics performance. The MacBook Airs don't include discrete graphics chips, for those that don't know, and that's one of the problems for driving those Retina screens.
Are they going to have Retina? I don't know if they're going to have Retina displays this year, though.
I don't know. MacBook I don't know, Airs. But I think it's possible. I think it's definitely possible.
I think it's possible, but I hope they don't.
I think they'll wait another year till battery life.
What do you hope they don't?
Better.
Why not, Joe?
Yeah, I just went on vacation. I found a new lease.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
I can't afford another computer right now. But I just made a claim on the internet podcast that I would buy a MacBook Air with Retina. Yeah, I gotta save some money.
Yeah, I'm dying to get a new MacBook Pro as well. I'm looking at that 15, and I would love some extra battery life. The thing about the 15s, though, is they're so much more expensive. You guys remember when the recession hit in the U.S., and Apple slashed the prices on a lot of their actually, I think on all their MacBook Pros, like $200 to $300. That was a while ago, because they used to be a lot more expensive than they are now. And now they're kind of going back to that with the Retina display MacBook Pros. And there's rumors that are going around that the current line that has the DVD drive is actually not going to be updated any longer. Oh, and they might just do like spec bumps every now and again, or they might just stop updating it entirely, pushing people to the Retina display MacBook Pros.
Oh, I guarantee you they'll kill it. It's dead already.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you think maybe it was just kind of a stopgap to release those just to people who, like, I really want a DVD drive, and now they're done?
This is about supply chain right here. They're just getting as much out of that supply chain as possible.
Yeah.
They have, I mean, you know, this is the reason that Tim Cook is CEO, right? Because here is a guy who knows how to make a factory pay for itself.
He'll just wait till the supply's dry and then it's done.
Yeah, I mean, those computers are expensive. The new ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people are just getting used to paying that, I guess. But those MacBook Pro with a DVD drive is a dead animal.
Yeah.
It's roadkill.
I mean, $3,000 for a Retina display, a fully loaded Retina display MacBook Pro, though. I think you can go even higher than that.
I had the 15-inch MacBook Retina MacBook Pro, and I loved it. Like CES really sucked because it was heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold it. I'm waiting to see what they announce at WWDC, and I'll probably get just a really cheap Air. But I don't know. If you're a pro and that's going to be your only machine, it's a freaking awesome machine.
I got no need for a 15-inch computer.
Yeah, that's what I realized was like, oh, if I have a desktop, there's like absolutely no need to have this thing. So I just need like a small computer to type on, is it?
You know, it's interesting. You wonder, speaking if you should have a desktop in our previous conversation about the Mac Pro, you wonder if they're just going to like put a bullet in the Mac Pro and be like, oh, check it out. You can open up the back of this iMac really easily now.
Oh, because that would be interesting. Yeah.
You put a better screen on the iMac. Maybe you call it Retina. Maybe you just bump the resolution a little bit.
You make
the back of it serviceable. That's a pretty appealing pro machine because you're right. Nobody wants a tower. Like,
right.
That's a dead paradigm at this point.
I think video pros and professional media pros would love to have a tower because one of the big draws about the tower is that you have space for extra hard drives. Of course, hard drives are kind of on the way out too.
But you have Thunderbolt 2 with external Thunderbolt drives. It's just like it's faster than in your machine. You can also have like expansion on the Thunderbolt port as well, like with expansion graphic cards as well. So, I mean, you're not limited to
Thunderbolt.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not limited to like the confines of just your iMac and its, you know, super slim profile anymore.
Every pro I know has like at least 4 or 5 external hard drives sitting on top of, next to you, on the desk by his or her tower.
Right.
Like they're not like, oh, I'm out of space, let me install another hard drive. They're like, Amazon.com, order Thunderbolt drive, plug into machine, keep editing.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, and I just don't think a lot of people really need just don't even need desktops anymore. I mean, I really debated getting one, and I just decided I needed like my last desktop, and I'll probably only have a laptop forever, you know? It's just not something, everything's kind of peaked out performance-wise.
I like having a desktop because I don't like carrying my computer to work. And I have an iMac at work, and that's great. But, you know, one thing you can't change with integrated graphics or battery life is that there is the desire to not carry your job with you around everywhere you go.
Right, yeah.
And it's hard enough with a phone. I think if you have your computer with you, it's just one more thing that ties you to the office when you're not there. It's getting important right now to set these boundaries, and I think there's enough of an emotional call for people to have a work machine that's only at work, that the desktop will remain around. Also, you just can't fit as much stuff in a laptop.
Yeah.
That's actually a really great point, Joe, just kind of recognizing that at some point people are going to need to set a boundary because we're already there, right? Especially with all these connected devices. And it's only going to, you know, increase, whereas you're always connected. You're going to be integrating your work email on your phone and your personal email on your phone and all these devices. At some point, you just have to say, I'm not going to do work when I'm not at work, because it is really enticing just to always be working. I'm sure, especially for someone like you, I mean, you probably had to figure that out pretty quick.
Well, you know, interesting. When I was actually thinking about when Steve Jobs died, I got a text message from Ray Wirt, who was the editor of Jalopnik at the time. And I was walking down the street, and I had a MacBook Air in my bag, and I had a MiFi. And I sat down on a random stoop in Park Slope, and ran the page and just, you know, pulled the trigger on all of our stuff that we had ready to go and worked for about 25 minutes. And then I eventually made my way to the friend's house I was about to have dinner with. And I was literally walking down the street typing in Campfire with our guys on IM, you know, on the phone with various media outlets. And you know, I guess at that point it was a good thing I had my machine. I mean, I thought a lot, like, what would have happened if I didn't have that machine with me? And the answer I keep coming down to is that really nothing would have been different.
Right. Everything would have gotten done anyway, right? Eventually.
Yeah, it would have gotten done.
Yeah.
I mean, we had so much direct traffic. It wasn't about, like, people seeing the stories. We had so many people typing in Gizmodo.com when Steve Jobs died that it triggered our DDoS alerts. And,
wow.
And our security system thought that we were being DDoS. It was something like 50,000 queries in a second.
Wow.
It was ridiculous. The traffic spike was insane. And we were ready for it. You know, we knew that he was sick. We knew that this was coming. We had all of our stories ready to go. Everybody who took over the page, you know, because we had shifts at Gizmodo. You had a morning shift, night shift, day shift, et cetera. Everybody had instructions, detailed instructions on which story to fire when and what to do socially with Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, who to call, you know, phone chains, everything, just super well organized. It was idiot-proof.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it would have happened anyway, but... I could not keep myself from signing in.
Yeah.
Because I was able to.
Well, that's actually what I like about having only a desktop and iMac right now. I don't have my MacBook Air. So if I'm gone and, you know, John or Leander need something, I'm like, well, it's going to have to wait 30 minutes till I get back to my house, you know, which is nice because you also get time to think about stuff, you know, rather than worry about news all the time.
That's a really important point, like time to think about stuff.
Yes.
And a lot of people on Twitter, especially right now, are getting in trouble for not taking that time.
Mm-hmm.
It really is important no matter how connected you are and how able you are to respond instantly to any bit of stimulus that comes at you from the internet, your mind hasn't changed. And it is important still to take a minute and process. And I think we're actually outstripping ourselves a little bit in that regard.
Yeah, I definitely do too.
Around the Boston bombings, you know, a lot of the flack of the social media editor community was getting around that because there was so much misinformation flying around. It's because, and I'm not saying anybody there was not thinking, it's just because there are a lot of weak links in a chain when the chain is that long. And it's very, very easy to just sort of operate autonomically instead of actually taking a step back, not fight that urge to be the one who's first.
Right, yeah.
And get in there with something that's different or maybe even more correct.
They're more thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, guys, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some more MacBook Pro stuff. We're going to talk about some more rumors for WWDC on Monday. So stick with us. We'll be right back. Hey, Buster.
Squirrels. I just decided I was going to say squirrels first thing you asked.
Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
I heard you like squirrels and that you were thinking about starting a squirrel website.
Dude, how'd you know?
Because I know these things about you. I know the things that you're into. I've got great news for you. If you need to build a website easily to feature all the different squirrels that you take pictures of, Squarespace.com, a great place to do that. Did you know with Squarespace, you can be up and running with a beautiful looking website in mere moments?
Oh, dang.
I know, mere moments, right? All you have to do is go over to Squarespace.com, sign up for a free trial. They barely need any of your information. They just ask for an email address. It takes you about 2.3 seconds to sign up. Time it. You'll be in their system in no time. And the thing about Squarespace is, besides having excellent customer service, they have these beautifully designed templates. You just choose what kind of website you want to make, choose the templates that you want to use, drag and drop your content in, your pictures drag and drop easily, really beautiful image galleries of all those squirrels that you've been taking pictures of. You can start a blog if you want. You could sell those squirrel pictures on Squarespace.
crap ton of stuff I can do.
Yeah, I know. You could sell those pictures on Squarespace because they have a new e-commerce system that fits right in, that's totally easy to use. You'll be up and running selling those squirrel prints, all with these really beautiful templates that are super easy to design. And if you want to dig into the code, you can, but you don't need to. Coolest part, Buster?
Yes.
Is that our audience are going to see your website at the right size for their device. So if they go iPhone and iPad,
yeah,
Squarespace automatically does a bunch of magic.
Magic?
Which is my word for magic. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, like
they're
going to
do a bunch of magic, wizard magic in the background and make your images, make your content all look great on any device that visits.
That sounds pretty, I guess it's good.
Yeah, yeah, I think it sounds pretty good.
Sold.
Okay, well, here's what I think people should do. If you're interested in trying out Squarespace, go over to squarespace.com, sign up for the free trial, and here's what the Cultcast Brajas are going to do for you. If you like it, at checkout, when you're placing your order, you can just enter the code CULTCAST6, that's all one word, CULTCAST, the number 6, and you're going to get 10% off your order. Now, that's if you order 1 month of service, or you can order a whole year of a service and save even more money. And plus, you're going to get a free domain name, busterssquirrelimages.com.
Oh.
You should probably register that now.
I don't really like that one. Okay, I'll figure it out. Don't worry.
Maybe you can figure out another creative one. It's your choice. It's your choice, really. But love the guys at Squarespace, and boy, just about the best place on the web that you can host your website. So go check them out, people. And I want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring the show yet again. We love having them as a sponsor. And go get your free website. Do it, y'all. Squirrels. And we're back! Welcome back to the Cultcast, everyone. Here with Downtown Joe Brown, East Coast editor of Wired. Did I say that?
New York editor.
Okay.
I want to be technical.
Okay. I do want to be technical.
There you go.
I want to be thoughtful in my answer to you. I don't want to just
take a minute.
I'm going to be silent for 1 minute. If you guys can just hang tight. I'm going to think about your title. So we're talking about MacBook Pros. We're expecting new Macs. New MacBook Pros and possibly a new Mac Pro on Monday. They're probably going to be announced, and if they announce them, they're going to be released right away is my guess, because here's what I'm thinking. Yeah. They can't announce these things any later than Monday because they're going to have new mobile devices coming out before Christmas, probably in October. And so they need to do it now, and there's really no other time to do the Mac Pros either. And if they don't do them now, they're not going to make their 2013 deadline. So I think it's imminent. We're going to get them.
Are you saying they have to ship at WWDC, like be ready to go?
I think they're going
to
be ready almost immediately after because Apple does their back-to-school events.
Not going to happen.
Well, Apple does their back-to-school events, like immediately.
With Macs, it always takes them a few weeks to get them going, man, after announcement. Like with iMacs, it was 1 to 2 months. And with
that was
Haswell,
like severe supply chain problems.
You also have the Haswell chips, though, that have to be produced. Like they're just ready. So they have to get millions of Macs, man.
I bet you they've been ready for Apple, though, for a while.
No, they're not, though.
You don't think so? Like you don't think that Apple
sure
already
Apple
has them?
Apple gets like early supplies.
Yeah,
like,
they always get early supplies.
Build models, but they're not going to get millions early. You know, Intel has to like be able to manufacture them first and then be able to mass produce them so they can come to the market. So they're probably not going to be ready for a few weeks after WWDC.
I would buy that. I would buy like 1 or 2 weeks. I mean, maybe even 3 weeks. But I do think they're going to be available fairly soon afterwards because they got to get them into college students' hands for all the students that are going to be shopping. And they have the back-to-school program.
They'll be available at some point in the summer, yeah.
So, and the Mac Pros, who knows?
The Mac Pros are not going to be ready. We haven't seen anything.
Do you think they'll just show
like
a demo,
Apple
Joe?
Leaking. Yeah, something like that. We haven't seen anything. There's been no manufacturing leak. And Apple's too big now to keep something new and different.
Yeah.
I don't know, Joe. I mean, remember when Tim Cook, we've talked about this on our show before, said he was going to double down on secrecy, y'all. And we barely know anything about iOS 7. We barely know anything about OS 10.9.
I wouldn't say barely. We know. I mean, we don't know. There's not screenshots or anything like that, but details have leaked
out. Software and hardware are different, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Hardware is a lot harder to keep quiet.
Yeah, there's tons of physical
evidence. That's true, right? Because there's a lot more parties involved.
Right.
You got hundreds of thousands of people with potential access to new hardware. It's why it always leaks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not even convinced that it leaks by accident. It always gets out there.
No, I feel – no, I definitely did their planned leaks sometimes.
Nowhereelse.fr and whatever other puppet site Apple starts to leak their hardware.
Whoa, there's a conspiracy theory for you.
Theory.
Oh, come on. Apple is the smartest PR game in town.
Oh, they're amazing at it.
They probably are selling ads on nowhereelse.fr. It's probably a line item.
Oh, I never even thought about them selling ads on it. It's probably true, too.
Something. I mean, nowhereelse.fr. Come on.
This is turning into like that Mel Gibson movie where he like
the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
I know you know about iPhone leaks.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking on a stolen prototype right now.
Yeah. Joe's on the iPhone 7 running iOS 8 at this very moment.
No, I've actually just got that old iPhone 4.
You're still on the 4?
I'm kidding, man.
Oh.
Joke.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I was making that old iPhone 4 joke because of Gizmodo.
Yeah, right. Got it.
Get me on IM later.
Okay, so, yeah. Can you – yeah, if you could just write that out, that'd be great. Let's talk about iOS 7. Not a lot extra here. We've talked about iOS 7, and there's really not a whole lot more to report here. We're expecting a much flatter design. Some people have said it's going to look much more Windows Phone-ish. Sorry.
The flat design thing is the funniest thing I've heard ever.
Why?
Have you ever – did anybody talk about flat design until like 3 weeks ago?
No.
When everybody was like, flat. Flat is the word that we now must embrace because flat is the future. It's like those
– it's like skeuomorphism.
The claw.
Well, it's like –
just so drawn to it.
It's like the skeuomorphism trend that, you know, at the like 8 months ago where everybody started talking about it, you know. All of a sudden everybody
So, Joe.
Skeuomorphism is a very old trend. I mean, flat design, if nothing else, is a reaction to skeuomorphism. I just don't think they're going to go with it because with like a super flat design like people are talking about, because honestly, flat design is a not even second, it's a third, they'd be a third party to do it, you know, Windows 8 and Google Now. And then if Apple picks it up, it's just such a Me Too move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if they are becoming more of a Me Too company, which is, I mean, you sort of can't deny that it's happening a little bit,
right?
That they would not do something so blatant and so obvious. Johnny Ive is still Johnny Ive.
I think it will definitely have an Apple spin on it. There's something there that we're not expecting, I think.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I mean, I've been bored. I've been bored lately. And I'm not like bored like MGC, where like I just got a job at Google and I had to...
Oh, my goodness.
I have been bored by other companies just eating Apple's lunch left and right. I mean, I was talking to Casey Neistat. He's a filmmaker. He makes those Nike videos, like Make It Count. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
We have a story on him coming up in the July issue of Wired. Anyway, he was talking about how he got the Roku 3, and he was like, why is this Roku 3 just beating the Apple TV so, just trouncing it so soundly? And the thing that I'll never forget, he said this, he goes, headphone jack in the remote? Where the hell were you on that, Apple? And that's so true, right? Like, how do you – like, Roku really took this entire concept and brought something completely new to just a set-top box. And this is the kind of thing that we always expect from Apple. I mean, wouldn't be on this podcast talking about Apple. We love Apple. You are the cult of Mac. I am a recovering PC user. the magic is not really – flowing as much as it was. And I'm not trying to jump on any bandwagons or be like negative Nancy on this, but I'm just really hoping that it's a momentary stutter in a step.
We've got
great things coming.
Yeah, I would agree with Joe. I mean, it has been, of course, there's been no new products for a while. And then last year, everything got updated, but it wasn't as exciting. So WWDC feels pretty critical, and iOS 7 feels pretty critical for Apple and how they do it.
I think critical is a good word. Joe, you said you wanted to talk about ITV, right? Or Apple Television?
I was Apple Television. That's what I wanted to say about Apple TV. Well, maybe the one more thing is going to be like, we've got a headphone jack in the remote, too. No, we've got two headphone jacks in the remote.
We've got three headphone jacks.
But somehow the remote is really small, and it's unibody.
I kind of half wonder if we'll even see an Apple Television this year. I don't think we will.
Do you mean physical television?
I mean like an actual Apple Television.
No, I don't think it's ever going to happen, to be honest with you.
That's kind of how I feel about the iWatch. Don't work.
Like, it's just, it's too huge to keep at Apple stores where they don't have a ton of space.
Yeah.
And they have, you can still do this, accomplish the same thing with an Apple TV.
Yep. I'm 100% there. The other thing you look at is just margins, profit margins. TVs are notoriously bad for profit margins. Apple's not going to go into a business with a notoriously low margin. It's just not the way the company is being run right now.
What do you think about iWatch, Joe? There's a lot of hype around that. There's been for a while. And then there's that commercial that came out recently where that guy – people kept tweeting me about it. And they're like, does this look like an iWatch? And I'm like, it looks like he's just wearing a watch.
It was such a stupid thing. It was like somebody at 9to5 Mag pointed out that, Apple is trolling people
that where it originated from? I was like, this guy's just wearing a watch. It's a square watch.
That's what it was, man. It was just stupid.
Do you think we'll ever see an iWatch, Joe?
I don't know. With Apple 2013, yeah, maybe.
So think that Apple Television is a no, but an iWatch is a maybe.
Definitely, yeah.
So the thing I keep coming back to is that fingerprint patent.
Huh?
Right? They're not going to put a fingerprint sensor on a phone. They're not going to put a fingerprint sensor on a MacBook because it's just too ThinkPad.
Hold on. When you say the fingerprint patent, are you talking about them buying Authentic, that company Authentic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which makes fingerprinting or finger authentication hardware, correct?
And also they have a lot of intellectual property around the software of fingerprints. And so I saw that as an IP buy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that the only time that a fingerprint scanning authentication makes sense for Apple is in this very, very small device. And the very, very small device du jour is the watch. I could see, instead of having to enter your passcode or do some kind of Android pattern,
you just
like a watch clasp or something. Yep. You touch the watch and it reads your fingerprints. And all of a sudden you have access to your phone. There's a company called MetaWatch, headed up by a guy named Bill Geiser, who used to be the director of watch technology at Fossil. He's an incredibly smart guy. And he's made this Bluetooth watch that is a really nice, and since before Pebble and everything, that's a really nice interface with your phone. He actually developed a Sony Ericsson watch that came out a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
That's only synced with the Sony Ericsson phones. I think something like that is going to happen. He hasn't had much success working directly with Apple. Obviously, mm-hmm. the watch is able to, he made an app. Great. And, you know, which is Apple's answer to, well, you can kind of play with us. Just make an app, put it in our app store. And I think that the reason that they haven't reacted more sort of enthusiastically to the sort of third-party watch community is probably because they're thinking that. I mean, there's an iWatch prototype floating around.
Definitely,
Cupertino, right?
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, just like I'm sure there's an Apple TV prototype, you know. I think they dream up a ton of stuff and just, you know, see if it goes anywhere.
I hope they don't make an iWatch, though.
Why is that?
Because, honestly, I want everybody who is working on the iWatch right now to go over to the Apple TV department and kick some people's asses
right.
and make it actually good Apple TV product. I mean, we have so much of our content tied up in iTunes, et cetera. Let's make it easier to use. The interface sucks. The device is sort of uninspiring. Let's get some magic back.
Yeah, I'm surprised they've never really tried with Apple TV. They introduced the concept and they've slimmed it down a little bit and added, you know, a couple more apps. But other than that, it's been unchanged since it's been introduced.
And that Roku 3 is just a hotness, though, huh?
Do you have one? Have you tried one?
I've played, but I don't have one. I mean, I have PS3.
I gotcha.
A more expensive, bigger, always updating version of the Roku 3. And so I use it for that. I don't need to buy extra gadgets. But man, that Roku 3 is really good. The interface is really easy. And the partners they have, I mean, you know, it's think about for a minute the novelty of what Roku 3 can do and realize that nobody else can do this. It's got Hulu Plus, it's got Netflix, and you can stream directly through it. I mean, you can't do that on other products unless you like build your own twonky media server onto a HTPC or whatever.
Or the Xbox One, soon to be coming out.
Right, doesn't exist yet. Yeah. Xbox One, man, I know this is cult of Mac.
Well, no, we talked about it. Hey, I welcome the conversation. Sometimes I get some flack for it, but what are your thoughts?
Take over my living room, oh Kinect God.
See? So you like it.
Yeah, man. Come on.
I like it too. It's getting so much heat in the media right now. I mean, people are just hating on that thing.
I haven't
Of course they are.
Stuff.
What's that?
I haven't seen too much bad stuff.
All I've seen is bad stuff.
Box, but I think the actual concept, you know, it actually looks like an awesome product other than the box is boring.
People are up in arms on Reddit.
People
they're up in arms on IGN. What?
Wait. Seriously?
Yes.
Are people up in arms on Reddit? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is Reddit having a strong reaction?
Normally, they're very controlled and they're very positive.
Conservative website.
Yeah, right. Reddit.com for those who've never been there. It's a very conservative.
Yeah, it's like the Drudge Report.
Right. Okay, good point. It's Reddit. They have strong responses to everything. But, you know, it's also video game websites who are having strong reactions to it. And at first when it came out, it seemed like people liked it. And then they churned on it really fast.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality of this is that there is a lot of media. Just very simply, compared to when the last Xbox came out, there's a lot more media, more websites, more publications who are talking about the same thing. And it becomes, and I can tell you this from experience, it becomes difficult to find something original to say.
Yeah.
And I do think that there is some manner of, and there always is recently, some manner of people just trying to get their original angle on something to try and get some traffic out of it. This is the nature of internet publishing. I'm not saying that everybody who has a gripe with the Xbox One is doing it as a traffic horn maneuver, but I guarantee you that somebody is.
Oh, that's
Xbox
a great point,
One,
yeah.
You know, I mean, so there's traffic horn, and I do think that the video game sites honestly have a reason to gripe about it because it's not a video game console.
Well,
it's a top box that plays video games.
I don't know. Man. I think we're going to find out differently at E3.
No, I really do think it's a really smart set-top box to control your living room. It also plays video games.
No, I think it's the exact opposite. I think
you do?
I think it's a fantastic video game console, and I think we're going to learn that at E3. But I think that it's so different that they decided that we need to show what's different about this to distinguish ourselves from the other consoles. Whether that was a good decision or not, you know, I leave that to the listener. And now that E3 is coming, they're going to be like, it's all going to be about video games. They're going to show us nothing but video games. They'll probably talk about the TV stuff too. But, you know, the thing about...
What could they possibly say about video games that would interest you? It plays video games really
Yeah,
well.
Other than, like, showing new video games, what are they going to do?
That's
like,
what I want to see, though.
They're
I want to see...
you, like, pre-rendered games and stuff like that. Like, it's not...
I want to see what this box can do. I want them to... They talked about a lot of exclusive titles coming out. They said they had 15 new IPs in the works, and I think 7 of them were exclusive. And
great.
What's that?
Great. Okay. It's the first new Xbox in 7 years. They better have more than 7 or 15, for that matter, exclusive titles. And you know what? Like Buster said, they're going to have a bunch of pre-canned animations where you're going to be like, oh my God, Halo 12
looks awesome.
So lifelike.
Yeah, I mean, man. And it's just
and I will play it. Yeah. But, you know.
So we agree. We're excited.
I'm
super pumped.
I'll probably get one maybe a year after it comes out.
So you're not going to buy it right away?
No, definitely not. I'm not a big video game player anyway. So
okay.
Not a thing for me.
I think I might fly to Shenzhen.
Right away.
pick mine up off the
line. I'm going to buy it right away. The minute it is available, I want that. I want the program guide. I can never. I watch like the same six channels every day. Right, like it's the
Nickelodeon history.
CBS Sports Network, HBO. Okay, maybe the same two channels every day. I don't know what either number is. I know that HBO is like 300 and something, and I think CBS Sports Network is like it's like 150 something. But I just literally just want to be like CBS Sports Network, Xbox, CBS Sports Network, or I want to be able to have that in like the little picture-in-picture while I'm playing Halo 26. Like, I want that. I really want that. I want the Kinect to take over my living room. I like the focus on Xbox apps. I'm into it. Like, bring it. And that's the kind of thing that Apple should be doing, bringing it back around for you. Bringing it back around.
Yeah, we had a discussion about that last show as well. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if and how Apple TV or an Apple television can compete with something as well thought through as the Xbox One. But yeah, let's bring it back to Apple. We need to talk about, I know, all these tangents, but they're great. This is why I love having you on the show, Joe. Let's talk about quickly, since there's not a lot. Exactly. And it's easy to get you going on pretty much any topic. Let's talk about OS 10.9. We're expecting that to be announced. Last time around, they had released a beta version to developers by about February, and now we don't really know a lot about it. Buster, maybe you could chime in, or Joe, feel free. Anything cool that we've heard that, you know, has sounded really awesome? I really have not heard that much about 10.9. I'm expecting them to release the beta and then test it, you know, and
all we've really heard is that it might be delayed because they've had to pull engineers off of it to work on iOS 7.
Right, I heard that.
Which
too.
Seems like a smart move because, I mean, 10.9, I don't think anybody's like super excited about it. So they should throw all of their, you know, more of their talent into iOS 7 anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of the big thing right now is iOS 7.
Bigger product, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure OS X 10.9 will probably just, honestly, it'll probably just have more like iOS elements in it. It seems like the way Apple's been doing it with OS X lately.
Oh goodness. I hope that's not true. I never use those elements.
What are they gonna name it?
That's exactly what I was gonna ask you guys.
I think they're gonna go to a
Bobcat.
Smaller cat. Yeah. Like Bobcat or Lynx was my guess.
Bobcat.
Lynx.
Ooh, I think
Lynx. Sega probably still has the patent on Lynx.
Oh.
Trademark.
Maybe they'll switch animals entirely.
Bobcat.
Eventually, they're going to have to switch. I literally cannot think of
it. 10.9 cat.
What was that guy's name who was in Police Academy?
Steve Gutenberg?
No, he was like, never mind. It was Bobcat.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking of. I was like, why am I thinking of this guy? Yes. Every time you said that,
dead.
That's
you can use his name.
He's not dead, is he?
I don't know. Is he? I assumed he was.
All right. No, that's okay. This tangent is going nowhere. Hey, we need to wrap up, Joe.
Good.
I've taken enough of your time. You're missing date night with your wife, who I just want to say.
I'm missing date night.
I know. Well, date night's kind of like officially over now, isn't it? It's like 12:20 your time. 11:20.
Yeah. Why don't you rub that in?
We'll make it up to her next time. I do want to congratulate her, though.
51 years old.
Wow.
Bobcat Goldthwait, 51 years old.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your wife.
No.
I was like, wow, you really you like those older women, Joe. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm older.
Well, I want to congratulate her because you said she got into MIT. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Christine Brown?
That's her.
Is she going to be a doctor at some point?
No, I think and she's not necessarily going to go to MIT. She's choosing between MIT and Cornell for an MBA program.
Okay. Well, tell her congratulations. It'd be awesome if we could call her Doc Brown, but
They say congratulations, Christine. She says thank you.
What's her Twitter handle?
You want me to give out your Twitter handle?
So that people can congratulate her if they choose to?
Sure. It's Aqua Brown.
Aqua Brown.
So it's AQUABRWN.
So if you want to wish her congratulations, go do that. Show her some love, people.
Yeah.
Her husband missed date night for this show.
I missed date night for this show.
Well, hey, I think we should probably wrap up there, don't you think, guys?
Yeah.
Yep.
Buster's
That's
like,
a good
yeah,
place to stop.
Definitely, definitely. Well, hey, Joe, I want to thank you for being on. It's always fun when you're here, and I know you're on kind of late your time, so thanks for staying up late for us.
No problem. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Oh wait, hold on, Joe. Hang on till the end here. I want to give out your Twitter handle. Trust me, it's only another 10 seconds. I'll talk really fast. I can micro machines my way through this. All right, guys, that's it. That's all the Cultcast we have for you this week. I want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring the show. Head over to squarespace.com, start your free trial. If you decide that you like it, just enter the code CULTCAST6, all one word with the number 6 at the end, and you'll save 10% off your order. How about that? Hey, if you want to follow Joe, doesn't he say clever things? He does. That's why we love having him on the show. He's just at Joe, what is it?
Joe MF Brown.
Joe MF Brown. Buster's BST3R. I'm at Airfon. And of course, all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple. Make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we will see you guys next time. See how fast I did that?
That was awesome.
Downtown JB is getting feisty. Did you see that tweet? He just tweeted. He's like, "Let's get this thing rolling." That's why he was editor for Gizmodo, man. He doesn't take any crap.
Yeah.
I bet he had a whip and he just whipped people if they ever got online.
Oh, I imagine he did. Like, Joe Brown would probably scare me if he was my boss, man. Because he's just so small and feisty. You're just like, oh, this is the type of guy who's going to do something to me. Actually, I'd lie. I actually would like for Joe to be my boss. I wouldn't mind.
You should come let him know.
Take it all back.
I want Joe to be my boss.
Joe, will you
be our bosses?
I just want you to know. If you want me to be like your employee, I'll do it.
Just putting that out there that you can hire a 2-for-1, just one salary. Me and Buster will come work for you.
Mm-hmm. It better be like $200,000.
I was gonna say 30, but yeah, that's a much better number.
$30,000 salary?
Yeah.
Man, dude.
I was like, me and Buster will move to New York together and share one salary for $30,000. Make up your mind.
Dude, we're gonna have to be like eating like regurgitated ramen, man. Like, you can eat it first, I'll eat whatever comes out after.
I'm gonna have to eat your beard for dinner.
Oh, it's
how fast can you grow that thing, dude?
Dude, I grow a beard fast.
So I eat 3 squares a day, so you better start tugging on that thing. I don't know what you need to do.
Don't worry, man. I got this.
This is the best part of the show.